I hope we're going to be very good this month. Last week when we adjourned the meeting, we were supposed to come back and deal with the bills, but it's becoming more and more very glaring that some of these bills will not see light of the day as we are rounding up our work in Parliament. Be that as it may, we will continue to work on what is here in front of us in Parliament and see how far we can push it. Our first item on the agenda is going to be on the Airports Company Amendment Bill B5 of 2018. There was a proposal that we will consider the amendments which would have been agreed upon by ATNS lawyers, the Department of Transport and the legal unit from Parliament, and I don't see. Okay. Can we continue with the ATNS? Juxtaposed.
Yes.
Okay. Item number 2 and number 1, they are interlinked like Siamese twins, so we will have to wait for the lawyers to come and brief us on what is or what should happen. But the other proposal on the agenda that I'm putting forward to members is that we went on an oversight to PRASA and we've got a draft report which actually we can be able to look at and be say you, if we agree to the report or there are other issues that needs to be put, then we can be able to look at it. So my proposal is that let's look at the draft report of the Portfolio Committee on its oversight visit to the PRASA and Rail Safety Regulator of the 31st and the 1st of January. Valerie, if you can take us through the reports.
Chair, just shortly, the report was sent to members last week, so I'm sure it's not necessary to go line by line, because it was sent. The issue that we need to take forward, Chair, is the recommendations in terms of that visit. So, hopefully, members can agree today what those recommendations would be so that this report can be ATC'd as soon as possible to be taken to the House for consideration and adoption. So if there are any recommendations, we would like to note it today so that we can finalize the report for adoption next week, Chair.
Thank you very much, Valerie. Are there additions to the Honourable Msinga?
Thank you, Chair. I have read through the report and I would want to make a suggestion to the committee looking at the recommendations and also because this particular visit, which unfortunately I could not attend, was based on a very unfortunate incident of a train crash. My recommendation therefore, Chair, would be to consider including a report on a regular basis of specifically manual authorizations. Because you might also recall, Chair, that we had presentations by the Railway Safety Regulator as well as by PRASA where we received information that 23% of manual authorizations is due to faulty signal equipment and 31% to faulty tracks. So my suggestion, therefore, would be that this committee receives on a regular basis the number of manual authorizations and where they are, because that certainly then emphasizes areas where a higher risk for possible crashes could occur due to manual authorizations.
Honorable, thank you very much, Honorable. Are there any other additions or subtraction, Honorable Ramatlakane?
No, thank you very much, Honorable Chair. I also read through the report. I thought it captured many of the areas that we've covered. However, I thought that the in the recommendations, particularly, we need to bring certain areas that is in the report in the recommendation. For an example, one area which I thought was we were clear about is that the in response to the question that the chair was asking, how long does it take to train the engineers if you were to take people from where they are into this training academy of Transnet? They were saying it's about 18 months that you need. So I thought that perhaps what we needed to do is to make a recommendation, specific recommendation on that particular aspect, that those TRAFA, dispatch those engineers that have been assessed for training as an engineers of BRASA, because you're going to need that in-house. In a response to a question when we were briefed, you could hear that the chair of the board was saying, we are very thin on engineers. We don't have them, that's why we are not able to give you this response as you're asking it. So I think that specific recommendation we should make. The second one, Chair, the recommendation which I thought in the discussion when we were at the communication center, we had long discussion about with the person who was in charge of that, telling us the 2021, that they are planning to finish this 2021 and whole lots of things, and the reason it boiled down to a capacity, that they did not necessarily have a capacity, that's why they keep stretching it out. I thought the discussion that we ended up, we didn't quite agree with the 2021. So I think we should make a specific recommendation around that, the completion of that communication center should be fast-tracked. You'd remember we even asked them, why don't you go and buy skills or borrow skills from China? In the BRICS company, that has BRICS countries, they have this, China's got a huge rail business, and they're running high-speed trains. They have these engineers, they produce hundreds of thousands of engineers per annum, if you have a look at their report. So I think that specific resolution there, we should be saying we're fast-tracking that particular issue, even if they have to go and source out skills, because they were saying we don't have a capacity, do we shut everything down to finish this thing? But the concern, because this links to the authorization and manual and signaling. The third one, Chair, if Valerie has taken note of that, the third one, it's got to do with the engineers and the workmanship and the capacity at the depot where we were. I think on the last day, they told us that they wait for trains to come for a workshop to be services or repairs. But the problem that they have for the last 2 years, they have been suggesting that they should introduce what they call a shift work. But no decision is communicated back to them. So I think we should make a specific recommendation there, that TRAFA being the business what it is, it has to introduce the shift system where that when the off-peak period, which is mostly going to be the night, that you have those engineers working on the train in terms of repairs. I thought that is one, another recommendation that is specific. And the last recommendation I thought was very thin on the recommendation. It's mentioned in the body of the report, is the issue about the locomotives. You remember we kept asking, you're hiring locomotive at 7 million rand per month. You have 13 locomotives standing, which can cut a Cape Town journey by 7 to 8 hours if you hook on the train, because it's the one where I think we must make that recommendation. In the question that we asked the RFR, his response was that they've long time commissioned those locomotives. They drove them across the country. They passed the test. The only thing that was outstanding was the service agreement. The service agreement is spare that they needed to have. So I think that otherwise those locomotives can be used. So I think we should make a specific recommendation that the chair's response was, she has met with the new owners of this particular company. There seems to be an agreement with what they need to do, and including that there are 70 outstanding locomotives that are still waiting for collection that has already been paid for. That they have already started that. So she was saying it's workable. It can be done, the issue about the service level and the service agreement issue for them. The only thing that was hampering this work was because there was a court case. They parked there because of the court case. So if we could make a specific recommendation about that the fact that this thing has been commissioned and in fact succeeded, testing of locomotive was finalized by the RSR, and therefore the finalization of the service agreement should be expedited so that the locomotive can then be utilized, and because they need to exit out of the month-to-month hiring of Translet locomotives. So I thought maybe those four or five should really be added as part of the recommendation that we can give to the PRASA and the PRASA board.
Thank you very much, Honorable Ramatlakana. Are there additional matters that honorable members feel we should include? It looks like there is nothing. Let me just quickly add on to what Honorable Ramatlakana has said. Part of the capacity issues, we indicated that because there is training going on in Transnet, they should start talking to Transnet to check if there is availability of engineers that can be able to be seconded or be come to PRASA. So those are the things that we believe we should be able to engage in. But with the locomotives, it's very, very clear that there is procrastination, and for PRASA to be spending 7 million rand a month on one locomotive that gets hired from Transnet, it's really neither here nor there. Honorable Humsinga?
You're saying 7 million, sir?
Yeah? 7 million. 7 years. 7 million a month. That's absurd. Anyway, it's not for us to be operational. We're just suggesting that they should be able, since RSR has really certified those, they should be able to consider them in the meantime while the courts are proceeding with whatever. Thank you very much. Can we proceed with our agenda item? I think the lawyers are here. Can we adopt this report as a true reflection of what we did when we went to site visit to PRASA in January and February? Any mover? Honorable CIB, seconded by Honorable Tseko. The report is so adopted. You missed out, Honorable De Freitas. But next time when you come back, we'll start there, where we were in January. It was very exciting to see how executive can disregard and ignore what comes from the real functionaries, because I mean, when the functionaries are saying we need shift sessions, and it takes the executive 3 years, three full years, to can be able to come up with that decision. They need spare parts. It takes another 3 years. What do they call that thing where we were, the engineering room, which actually can be able to do a lot of work. It's 3 years that they don't have spare parts, and it's 3 years that the executive disregards and care very little. So, yeah. Thank you very much. Let's start. Thank you for arriving. We are looking at the item one on the airports company, the amendments that are proposed. If you can take us through.
Thank you, Chairperson. The name is Kumele Lengema, Parliamentary Legal Advisor. Chairperson, we have made a huge stride together with the Department and the State Law Advisor to get the document that is before the committee today in ensuring that the amendments as discussed previously have been taken care of, as well as to look at the issues that we had raised. I think, first of all, Chairperson, before I get to the content of the amendment itself, maybe we should just speak to the two issues that I had related to the committee previously in respect of the tagging problem. That one, Chairperson, it's no longer going to be an issue taking us forward, because what we've done, as we were discussing together with the department and the state law advisors in ensuring that the process is lawfully conducted and procedurally correct, the provision that was creating problems, we have taken care of it in order to ensure that that issue about taking does not arise. But I will explain it when I get to the provision itself so that I don't confuse the members. So the issue of taking is no longer a concern. We have already taken care of it, and so the bill will be proceeding as a Section 75 bill in line with the taking by the joint taking mechanism. And then secondly, Chairperson, in respect of the first provision that appears as the new clause, the other procedural issue that I had raised is the one that still remains in respect of ensuring that, because this clause was not a clause that was part of the introduced bill, and in terms of the operation of the rules of Parliament, specifically this House, the National Assembly, if we are to do something like that, we need to get the permission of the House. So that permission would basically relate more specifically to clause number one, which is that new clause that relates to section two of the Principal Act. Now I would just take the members through that first clause as to what exactly is hoped to be achieved. Chairperson, as when the department was giving us a briefing, they indicated that this bill basically, with the other one that the committee will be dealing with, this provision is already taken care of. It deals with the establishment of the airport company. And what the department had initially sought to change there was to make sure that there is compliance with the Companies Act, as well as the alignment with every provision that appears in the Companies Act. Because as we understand, previously in terms of the Act, when it was established, the company was established as a public company. But the Companies Act has brought some changes to say we still need to do a further distinction between public and private companies, as well as the state-owned companies. And Airports Company is a state-owned company, and it's already, in terms of the Public Finance Management Act, already referred and proclaimed as a Schedule 2 entity. So what basically this clause is bringing before the committee today is to ensure that all that has happened in terms of making sure that the statute now recognizes that, and in this act as well, it is corrected in line with those acts. And that's basically what clause, what this new clause, which is the new proposal before the committee, is going to effect. Now, if I take you through, as I said, it is amending Section 2 of the Principal Act. And what we are proposing for the first one is that the heading is now going to change from what it currently reads as, and it must read establishment and classification of company, so as to give effect of all those things that I have explained. And then the B seeks to omit what already exists in the Principal Act, which was subsection 6. Subsection 6 in the Principal Act basically was also making reference to the Companies Act, which has already been repealed by the Companies Act of 2008. But there are transitional provisions that addresses all of the other concerns that may arise when a process of repeal and a process of replacement is taking place. And the next provision, Chairperson C, which basically wants to substitute 7C. What basically 7C was indicating is that the majority of non-executive directors who are part of this company must not be officers that are employed in terms of the Public Service Act, but also made reference to officers. And when looking through the process and checking this, there is no reference in the current Public Service Proclamation Act speaking to officers, and that C is basically correcting that. And we're going to do a consequential amendment as well with other provisions, because I realized, and with the assistance of the team, there are other provisions like Section 11 of the Principal Act, which speaks to the same thing, to speak to the employees in terms of the Public Service Act as well as speak to officers. So that correction is basically taking that redundancy away. When we make reference to the Public Service Act and those people who must constitute the who must be part of the airport's company, will be, if need be, in terms of what is already in the Act, can be anybody that is employed in terms of the Public Service Act. It is just a matter of clarity to correct that position. And then with the last added part, Chairperson, the insertion of the new subsection 8, what that basically says is that as from the date of commencement of the Companies Act 2008, this company is classified as a state-owned company listed under Schedule 2 of the Public Finance Management Act. That is basically what the new clause is seeking to do, as I said, to align the Public Finance Management Act in line with the Companies Act and what the purposes of this act from initial establishment was. With the direction of the chairperson, I don't know whether I should just go through all of them or let each provision be deliberated and then move to the next.
Proceed, we'll deliberate once you finish.
Thank you, Chair. Then Clause 2 is now the one that was speaking to the object of the company. And this is the one that created the red hairs and red alert in terms of whether it might change the taking of this bill. Like I said, Chairperson, when I indicated previously, in terms of the Constitution and Schedule 4, in order for us, through the legislative process, and when a bill is introduced in Parliament, Schedule 4 mentions functional areas that were indicating that should we be speaking to any other airport, as this Clause 2 is initially and as presented was indicating. It thus then takes us outside of a Schedule 75 bill and requires that we deal with it as a Section 76. But now, what we noted and which I already indicated, remember, this act we are trying to amend is the 1993 Act, and that was before the Constitution came into effect. Therefore, there is nothing wrong with the Act as it stands and the procedures that they followed previously. But moving forward, since the enactment of the Constitution, the problem would arise because of Schedule 4. So initially, if we are to say any other airport, we're speaking of municipal airports, we're speaking of any other private airports, and that then, for purposes of public participation, would have required that we do an extensive public participation process, which aligns together with the processes of the national, of the second house, the National Council of Provinces. So this is why clause 2 in this instance, because upon discussion and upon explaining this to the department, it was actually noted that the memorandum of association covers what they wanted to add in this respect, which was now automatically going to change the whole bill. Their memorandum is still speaking to this, but for the sake of bringing it to the obvious attention of the public, that is why they were adding that part there. But for purposes of the procedure, and as well as ensuring now that this does not hamper the process and make the bill procedurally incorrect, that is why clause 2 we are providing there, that it is not necessary that we deal with it. Hence, we are proposing that the clause, which was basically reading, the objects of the company are set out as in its memorandum of association, and this was the part that was added, and includes the acquisition, establishment, development, provision, maintenance, management, control, or operation of any airport or any part of any airport. So that part is no longer going to be inserted in the Principal Act, but we are reverting to the original position as it appeared in the Principal Act, and that would be the effect of rejecting clause 2, Chairperson. I move to clause 4. There are no changes in clause 3, so it will stay as is. In clause 4, Chairperson, it's a similar change that speaks to section 11 and what appears in the Public Service Act. We are basically going to remove the C and substitute it to read the way that it should read, so that it corresponds correctly with what appears in the Public Service Act. And like I said, when we do the final A list, we will also check if there are other provisions, like it is in the case of Section 11 that is being amended by Clause 4. I think it's Sub 4. Section 11 Sub 4 also speaks to the same thing, where it speaks to both officers that are employed in terms of the Public Service Act, and that is what we were correcting. So there might be consequential corrections as well of those other provisions we might have left out in respect of that. Then clause 6, Chairperson. Clause 6 is the one that relates to both. It relates to both the other bill, and my colleague had raised it in respect of the approach document. But what we have done in order to ensure that this as well is bringing certainty that the department intended, is to ensure that we are providing an enabling provision to allow the regulatory committee to be able to determine and develop this document, which is going to be the document that provides guidelines as defined in the definition section. So we're not taking away the definition, we're leaving it as is, but bringing this clarity and ensuring that the enabling provision comes out here. So clause 6, in respect of subsection 2, which is the amendment of section 12 of the Principal Act, it is now going to read as thus. The committee may develop, determine, issue, and amend guidelines to the company, known as the approach document, after consultation with relevant and interested stakeholders, including company, for the submission of a permission application in terms of subsection 1. B, the approach document in terms of subsection A may be reviewed after 3 years from the date this Act comes into operation. It was also noted when the department did the briefing that this document is already in place. They are already using it. All that they requested and require moving forward is to give it a legal status, which is basically achieved in terms of what we are now proposing before the committee. And then clause 7, Chairperson, it affects the same thing I've explained in respect of the Public Service Act and the employees thereof. Then lastly, Chairperson, it is in respect of the appeal committee, which is already dealt with in terms of the new insertions under Clause 7. It was just clarity on the concerns that I raised, Chairperson, and that is the consequential corrections then that we are effecting. We are going to change sub 7, clause 12B sub 7, to read as follows. The appeal committee shall convene as often as the business of the appeal committee may require. Because remember what we've indicated in sub 1 of 12B is that the appeal committee will be established and appointed by the minister. But in order just to bring that necessary clarity that even though it's perpetually established, but it's not going to be standing forever, it will only be functional and be put in place as and when there is an appeal and when it's necessary, just to ensure that cost is kept in that regard. And then the last one, Chairperson, it relates to their disqualification and the qualification. I think when we read that, this is just a correction that is necessary just to ensure that what we intend doing is actually achieved. In that respect, it was the submission of subsection 12C2A, which was basically with the end there. All that it meant, if we are putting members into this committee, we should be looking for a person who's suitably qualified and is experienced in the field of law, finance, economics, and civil aviation industry. The end, what it eventually achieves, is that you want a person who has all these things in one, which is most likely impossible under the given circumstances we have in the country. So the O will correct that position to say, so long as if you are saying you want to establish a committee of four people, so long as one of them does have these qualifications, they will then automatically be falling within the criteria, but the end would have been a difficulty. So, Chairperson, that is basically all that we are proposing in terms of the A list and the deliberations of the committee previously. I thank you, Chair.
Thank you very much. Honorable members, there we go. Any inputs? Honorable Damatlaka.
No, Chair, it's just the question. The approach document that is mentioned on clause 6, that you said has been given a status through this inclusion. What is the definition of this document? Well, is it defined anywhere? You can just remind us what the definition of the approach document would be.
If I may, it's in the definition of the bill that we have right now. It reads as approach document means the committee's guidelines to the company for the submission of the permission application.
Okay, that's good. Then the other question I have, Chair. I have two more. The first one is this that was creating problems for the bill because of its the nature of tagging. Mm-hmm. That is suggested that the way around it was to remove the others so that it fast checked the bill. The real question is that what we wanted? Or we actually wanted to speak about others, including those that are in the municipal. But because of time, we maybe think that let's move this out and then just focus on to the national, because still the competency issue here in terms of airport is still remain a competency of a department of national. So that's the question really for me. Is it time bound deletion or exclusion? because we want to get this X through, or was that really the intention? Because the challenges of airport and the mushrooming of airport in the country, if not properly managed currently, they become a security risk. In fact, they are already a security risk as we speak because of that. So that's really the question. Maybe the department can help us understand what is this the intention, was this the intention, or not necessarily. Because if it wasn't, maybe the next parliament may still have to go back and look at this particular question quite broadly. Which takes me to the question of the consultation process, if you were to embark on it, even though we realize that this term is coming to an end, how will it injure the current operation of the airport company? What constraint will it have? It's a matter of life and death. This must happen. It constrains the functionality or operational currently. Then it's understandable. So that's the small question. Really, is the Public Service Act as proclaimed in 1994. Also, the cleaning out of the officers out of this the main or principal act. Is that our view? Because in terms of the airport company, it does have officers appointed into it who has been commissioned as officers that deals a number of things, including the security in there. Is it the intention, therefore, that those who are officers, by the exclusion of this, just making it to become a Public Service Act, is better that way? And whoever is an officer who has been commissioned as such, upon the employment or taking the employment in there, will then accordingly forfeit that what is called a particular status for life in terms of those who are commissioned. Is that what's going to happen? I'm just asking. This is a small question, really. I'm sure doctor can deal with this to just explain, to understand what it is. What is the thinking behind, what is the problem behind the words official? Because if the official means those who have been commissioned in terms of other act, how does it injure those who are appointed in terms of a different act? It's another question, really. It's just a question to understand what is behind the mind of the proposal in terms of legal phrasing. Thank you, Chair.
Are there other questions, honourable members? None, you can respond.
Thank you, Chairperson. On with the approach document sorted, Chairperson, on the issue of the question around tagging and clause 2 and its rejection. Chairperson, basically we are not rejecting this clause on the basis that it will create the problem that we require more time. But Chairperson, upon discussion, it was clear, and the department may add on this for clarity of the members, the mandate as stands for the company is not going to change because of either this change or what the change would have achieved. It doesn't change the mandate. Their mandate as it stands right now, it is generally open to any kind of airport, regardless of what Schedule 4 in respect of national and international airports for tagging purposes is indicating. So their mandate is not going to be curtailed by either rejecting or going ahead with this provision. It remains as is, and as the principal act was broadening it, there is nothing that is going to impact on it. The only thing that we are indicating, and the department pointed out, as I said, they added this provision because they wanted to make it easier for the broader functions of the company to be clear, but they already appear elsewhere. They already are indicated and known in other documents that are also available to the public. But in this instance, the provision as it was written, because of what now the Constitution is providing, would have created that problem. But it is not a necessary provision that it is brought here in this instance. It is already covered. It was going to be more of a redundant exercise, if I may put it that way. And I think the other question, so there is really no link between dealing with that provision the manner we have done, just because we wanted to get away from the elongated public participation process, or we wanted to deprive the public of the public participation process. It really has nothing to do with that, because in any case, all the public participation processes, even if it remains a 75, they are still going to be conducted as the law requires and as Parliament is going to dictate in line with the rules of Parliament. And then with regards to the question of officers and that correction, generally what we did here was to look at the definition as it appears in the Public Service Act. And what we understood the Act to be initially indicating or wanting to achieve was to ensure that employees, whether you are employed as an officer or employed as whatever, regardless of what the rank or the position is named once you are appointed, in terms of the Public Service Act, the definition is speaking to everybody employed in terms of that Act. And therefore, whichever officer that may still or employee that may still be employed for purposes of this Act, that is still going to be the same case. There are no benefits or rights that are going to accrue or going to be taken away by this amendment. Whatever the appointment, it will remain the same. It was just a matter of ensuring that the way that the Act is crafted and the definitions it speaks to as it stands now, the same applies to this Act, which was done in 1993, and now we are trying to make sure that there are necessary corrections that are consequential as we move on with the legislatures doing some amendments to the statute book as it stands. The department may add, Chairperson, if there is more to be added. Anything from the department?
You're covered.
Yes, thank you.
Is it a follow-up, Honourable?
It's a follow-up, Chair. The follow-up, Chair, it's not correct that you have people that are appointed in terms of other acts. For an example, here you've got people that are, if they are in the officers, and I'm using the officers loosely in terms of the Police Act, for an example. They are classified as officers in terms of that Act, and they're given whatever tax they get, different tax as they go up. And in the police currently, you have people who are appointed in terms of the Public Service Act, 1994, and you have those that are appointed in terms of the Police Act that are working alongside each other in there, they're existing. The only difference is that those that are in the Public Service Act, they are probably not necessarily police officer in the sense that they've gone through what the police have gone through. So there's two acts, basically, that they will always quote. So what I'm hearing from the legal explanation, it sounds as if the removal of the officers is a consequential. But for me, the consequential removal of it still has an implication. As I say, because this is almost like abolition. It's abolishing those who would have received a particular reward based on a particular act and the training, which is a title they hold for life. when they come in here, that's abolishment by the basically coming into this act. That was really my question, if I didn't explain it in that way. But if it's a consequential, consequential should not take the rights automatically out of the equation. So I don't know how to deal with it, because the nature of a business of a company called AXA has people who have come from the police, who work there in number of fields. And some of them, they've left police with a particular rank. They're going to AXA even though they are not practicing. They don't leave or lose that particular what has been classified, a particular action. But it's just a question, it's just a comment I'm making in explaining. In fact, I haven't listened to the legal response to that particular question. But otherwise, I think there is no problem if that's what the department does want. But it's automatically those that are, I don't see we're going to be abolished those rents, because they are recognized in terms of the other act and given that in terms of that commission. But I think we can proceed with the understanding that it was really more consequential. The last thing, I mean, Chair, on the mandate, I understand now that the mandate doesn't change by virtue of the changing clause 2 or tagging issue, because the mandate is still broad enough. I think that's, for me, then it covers my point that it's no issue about it.
Thank you very much. Does it need a response? Okay. It was just a comment anyway. I would take it like that, and I'm sure you will be able to deal with that. Honorable members, having discussed all that, can we agree to the list as proposed? Honorable members, Pumelele, when he was making a presentation, she spoke to the amendment that must go to the House for nodding, for agreeing to. Can we agree to the proposal as was put forward by Pumelele, that the clause 2, I think, must go to the House for agreement? Agreed. Thank you very much. You want to?
You wanted to speak to the time? Yeah. Members, I've also raised the issue with Chair. If members may recall, with the NLT and the ARCTO Bill, when changes were made to the Principal Act, the committee had to go to the House for permission in terms of Rule 2864C. I've raised the issue with Chair just in terms of timelines. And what it would mean to the committee if that process is now, as it's now been agreed to, is followed. First of all, a report has to be adopted by the committee that will go to the House to seek permission in that regard. A report has been prepared so that the committee can take some time to read through it so that it can be published in the ATC. I've also alerted the Chair in terms of the timelines. It would mean that the report has to be considered by the House, and it looks at this stage that the earliest date would probably be the 26th of February, not earlier than that, and that is if the report is published this week. Number two, it means the amendment that the committee agreed to today will have to be published for comment, because that amendment has not been seen by stakeholders, and that is 10 working days in terms of the public participation process, which means that the earliest that the committee will get a response back is the 12th of March, which means the committee has, based on any comment received, probably just 2 working days up till the 15th of March to finalize this bill. The last day that the House will deal with legislation is the 19th of March, which will mean that the House will probably have to suspend the three-day rule. I'm just giving members an idea what we are dealing with in terms of these bills so that there can be clarity on how much time the committee really has available to finalize this bill. That's all.
Honourable members, there we are. The timelines in essence says that we will not be able to pass these bills in the National Assembly. The timeline says that obviously these bills are going to lapse. Can I get it from honourable members? We've got the report here that will go to the National Assembly for the proposed amendments of the bill. What do we do, honourable members? Honourable Humsinga, Honourable Ramatakana, Honourable De Freitas.
Chair, it lapses when it lapses, but up until the stage of lapsing, we need to continue. It's subject to a lot of other changes, and we are anticipating that transport stands last in the queue, which is something we shouldn't do. And therefore, I submit, Chair, that we carry on with the work, we follow the process, and whenever there's an opportunity that opens up time-wise, due to other bills which are also for consideration and listed lapses, then obviously there might just be an opportunity, but we need to continue our work.
Honourable Ramachaka.
No, Chair. I'm sort of boxing by this comment, if it lapses, it must lapse. No, Chair, the explanation that we have, and one of the major issues seems to be the scope. If for an example, this issue that needs a mandate of the House is taken off the table now, how does it do with your time frame?
I think it's important that our parliamentary legal advisor clarify whether it is an issue that should be taken off. But I want to just remind members that ultimately, even if a bill lapses at the end of a session, the sixth parliament can, it has happened in the past that the next parliament revised a bill where it has lapsed. So it has happened. So it's good that the member said continue with the bill. So it shouldn't constrain us to move ahead. So if our legal advisors feel that this is very important for this bill, then we move ahead we move ahead, Chair, that if it shouldn't be, that shouldn't be the question.
Pumela.
Thanks, Chairperson. If I may add, Chairperson, I think it is crucial to note for record purposes that these processes, like I indicated before, they can run simultaneously and parallel to each other. And with that exercise, as the committee may have known, may have seen in the past as well in the work that they did in respect of such an exercise, the public participation is not taken away or improved by the fact that there's an added exercise that takes place. In any case, as I understand the processes, this would have been the process that the committee engages on to call for public submissions and to do all that processing. So we are not really diverting from that process. So it is still going, but like I said, there are a lot of other constraints that one needs to look at, like the work of the committee, the time frames that we have left, and what is going to happen, as the president has already given the date for the elections and the implications thereof. That's basically the issues that I think maybe Valerie was speaking to in respect of the processes and the time frames and the public participation, but not necessarily that exercise is going to hinge or impact in any way with the proceedings as they should go on.
Honorable Ramatlaka.
Chair, I think that maybe Honorable Homsinger was probably correct. The point is this: the public participation can't run concurrently with what we are doing.
Mm-hmm.
Because if it's a real public participation, we'll have to ask the public what their views are. And we'll have to give them time. I think Valerie has given the times in terms of 10 to 2 weeks, whatever it is. And then after that, start the kind of process going forward. So it does have, in terms of timetabling it, there is going to be a problem. But I think that let's proceed on the basis of understanding that we do have that. It's a matter of life and death that we need to include this particular area that it's been included in terms of the touching on the Principal Act. Let's agree, let's go through that, and let's go and do the... if we don't finish it, we don't finish it. And then the sixth Parliament will figure out where it ended. But I think let's proceed with that understanding that... I think I agree with the Honourable Singer. Let's proceed on that basis.
Thank you very much. Proceeding, can we consider the report, the interim report, as tabled before us? Honourable members, if you can just 2 minutes, read through the report, and then we talk to the reports and proceed. Honorable Teko, Honorable Humsinga. Mabubes, why are you quiet? Honorable Ramatlakana, let me start with Honorable Teko, Honorable Humsinga, Honorable Ramatlakana.
Chairperson, good morning. Well, I think it's a procedure that we just adopt the report. It's a procedure that we must consider doing it as such. Thank you.
Honorable Kirk is moving for adoption. Honorable Humsinga.
Thank you, Chair. I was reading the back section on about the memorandum, and particularly around the tagging. I don't have a particular position around whether it's tagged as a 75 or 76, but from what I could follow out of the argument, under the memorandum, is that there's an argument made out that it should be tagged as a 76. What changed in the line of argument noted in the memorandum and the request to confirm this as a tagged 75?
Pumelela, there's a question.
Thank you, Chairperson. Is the Honourable Member speaking to the memorandum of the bill?
Yep.
Indeed. And as I say, in the memorandum, the last portion is a very logic line of argument around the fact that it should be tagged as a Section 76. Whereas in the request to Parliament now, it's indicated as a Section 75. But I don't have a particular reasoning either side towards having it as a 75 or a 76. I would just like to know what caused the difference in position now.
Okay.
Honorable,
The memorandum was fairly elastic. It was elastic in a sense that it said either 75 or 76. So I think the legal advisor have opted for 75 in terms of it, because it doesn't really, and that's why we accepted. The writer of the memorandum at the time, procedure, they didn't have a determined procedure based on the content, whether it will be 75 or 76. So in that case, I would agree that it's 75.
Yeah. Chief, if I could intervene, I withdraw my question.
Yes.
I was corrected by the legal advisor, and I'm happy that we proceed without any further debate. Thank you, Chief.
Okay. Honorable Seko had moved for the adoption of the report. Is there a seconder? Seconded, thank you very much. We will have the report 80 seat. And we are agreeing that we are going to proceed with the bills as are before us. Can we move to the next agenda item, which is ATNS? As proposed, continue.
Thank you, Chairperson. The name is Fatima Ibrahim, Parliamentary Legal Advisor. Chair, you will recall that I took the committee through the draft A-list as proposed last week, but I did mention that depending on whether the two issues that I raised in respect of the tagging and the approach document, whether depending on how those were resolved, it may or may not have an impact on this particular bill. Mm-hmm. Chair, I'm glad to report that the manner in which they've resolved those two issues mean that there are no changes to the A-list as we presented last week, Chair.
Mm-hmm.
So the committee can proceed, unless you want me to reread it again, Chair.
Last week we agreed tentatively that depending on the outcomes of the ACSA bill, we tentatively are agreeing to the ATNS as brought forward to us. Do we still uphold what we agreed to last week? Are there some changes in the minds of the honourable members or agreed to? If so, agreed to, then okay. Agreed to? Thank you very much. Silence is golden, and I like it when it's golden. Thank you very much, Fatima. We are now done with the Air Traffic Navigation Services Company Amendment Act Bill 6 of 2008. As proposed. Where am I now? Oh, yeah. Anything? We're done. Honorable members? I think we are done with the business of the day. I will implore upon yourself that next week we've got a lot of outstanding minutes that you must deal with. So next week we will be dealing with the minutes as we shall be waiting for the other processes to be engaged in. On that note, honorable members, the meeting is adjourned. Thank you very much.
We can do it on the credo version.
We can do the 18th.
I don't know.